There is no new business to report from the closed session. However, the board is planning to return to closed session at the end of this meeting. Okay, our student representative. Okay.
So I have no report tonight, but that's it.
That means everything's running or just ended right at the school. So, okay. And it's amazing what an extra day off will do with to the report. Thank you. School report, Loma Rica.
Thank you for representing students. I come to you tonight from Foothill School and from Loma Rica School. Last that I had the opportunity to present to the board, I think it was 3 years ago, so it's nice to be able to come and give some updates about some of the accomplishments as well as challenges that we're facing at the two sites. You have a copy of the narrative. I know it was in your packet, and I have no intention of reading all of this to you, but I will use the slides as they relate to the sections that you have in your narrative packet, just to highlight a couple of talk points for you. The first bit of information that you have is the mission statement as it relates to Loma Rica School and Foothill School. Foothill School highlighting a stimulating and innovative environment. I point out those two words because, as you're going to see through some of the other slides and activities, many of the things that are happening at Foothill School all relate back to those two words. Building an environment of self-worth, self-image, self-esteem, and perhaps one of all of our most important roles is helping students to become productive citizens in our community. In Loma Rica, the mission statement, and again, you'll see all of the activities and things that we're doing at that school tie back to this fundamental mission statement. A big focus on developing those core beliefs and values in our young people to become lifelong learners. And it's I get the privilege of seeing the Loma Rica students feed into Foothill, so the amount of growth that I'm able to see is absolutely phenomenal. And also working on building positive relationships. I'm going to give you a little bit of data in a minute as it relates to Loma Rica School and why that's one of the initiatives, building those positive relationships, problem solving, and getting along with others is one of the areas that we're working very hard on at Loma Rica School. The most important part of the work that we do, obviously, is the academic achievement of our students and continuing to have that instructional focus at both of our schools that will ensure the academic success for those that we serve. Just two things that I wanted to point out on this slide is at this notion of literacy development in all subjects, and our teachers came together and worked on a shared definition of what does literacy look like in every subject at Foothill School, so that the science teachers, social studies teachers, math teachers, all are sharing this responsibility for literacy development, and that it doesn't just rest with that's the English teacher's role. And as a former English teacher, I can tell you that weighs heavily, because literacy is a foundation for all. And having all of the teachers help develop that definition and what it will look like was very helpful in us moving forward in that direction. The other, in terms of instructional focus, is the notion of active participation, making sure that teachers' actions elicit simultaneous engagement from every learner in the classroom at the same time. We've looked at many strategies that do that very thing. I've had the honor of being able to walk into all of the classrooms on the campus, and the teachers don't get to do that with their peers. But I gather information, and then we've gone back to staff meetings and shared actual quotes that teachers are saying that has elicited engagement of all learners at the same time, or actions, activities. That way teachers are sharing with one another those things that are working well to engage everyone simultaneously. We've also taken time at staff meetings to share the things that we're doing that are engaging all of our students. School to home and our home to school communications, there's a myriad of things. Our teachers are absolutely fabulous at getting back to parents within 24 hours, whether it's a phone call or an email. And I think that is so critical, and they're dedicated to doing that. School Messenger, of course, we use. Back to school nights. We have parent satisfaction surveys that go. We've done that at the site level, just as our own. And then we've also had the district one that I think just closed in January, so we're excited to get that information back. Student planners is a really nice tool that goes back and forth between home. Parents can write notes in the planner. Students have all of their assignments and upcoming activities written in those planners. It's consistent throughout every classroom, so the students know what is expected in every classroom to write down what their tasks are for a given day in a given subject. Weekly, obviously weekly, monthly, quarterly progress reports, Aries gradebook. That last thing on there, this came to us from a teacher, social studies teacher, and several teachers are using this now. It's Remind 101, and it's a text feature. So parents can sign up and they become part of a group text, and then the teacher at night can just say, don't forget, this is due tomorrow or that's due tomorrow. Parents have raved about it because it's on their text, and that's what they use as a means of communication. We weren't getting a real high degree of people checking Aries as much as I think we would like them to, even though that's available. So the degree to which we can expand communication opportunities, we want to do that. The services that are provided, I'll tell you something. The LCAP funding and the decisions that were made by this board to provide support for the literacy resource technicians at Foothill School and sometime at Loma Rica School could not have been put to better use. And the second thing that the board agreed to and that we are now enjoying the fruits of is having a counselor at Foothill School. And I could spend the next hour, and I won't, explaining all of the different things that counselor, one day a week, she's at Foothill School, one day a week, 2 days at Yuba Gardens, two at McKinney, has made an absolutely incredible group difference. She has a girls group for girls that might have some social awkwardness that would then lead to dramatic events, we'll call them, junior high dramatic events. Has a boys group. These are for our male students who really are just having trouble fitting in and making friends and understanding a social appropriateness. She's working with them. We just formed an academic achievement group, and these are the kids that we have on our watch list. Every 6 weeks, we're monitoring students and looking at what their grade point averages is, looking at their benchmarks, looking at their levels of achievement, and we're highlighting them, and they'll have conferences with me, they'll have conferences with their teachers, and then they have a formalized conference with that counselor. That's something new to Foothill, and in a minute you're going to see just one piece of data that shows how much of a difference that's making. Enrichment opportunities. For small schools, it's hard because we don't have as many resources, and none of these things that you see up here would happen without the teachers and the staff. All of those enrichment activities are a direct result of their contributions. Digital photography, drama. The drama club just put on a performance of Frozen and brought over 500 people into Foothill School. It was phenomenal. Huge community event. Computer coding. We just got a 3D printer. And we're proud to say that we have the first student who's ever made a geographic image on a laptop computer and transferred that to a 3D printer in the district. Our math teacher reminds me of that every day. It's a big accomplishment. Keyboarding, I'll talk about that in just a minute. Social studies science support class, that came from some data we collected with regard to what was causing students to do poorly. I won't read the rest of those to you, but school garden, guitar club. Community partnerships, no school can be successful unless we're getting help from our community. Loma Rica Lions Club has been a huge friend to Foothill and Loma Rica. The most exciting one most recently is our new partnership with CSU Chico, working with the Centers for Healthy Communities. There's a research foundation funded through Chico State University. They're working with Loma Rica on creating physical education programs. They're doing some painting of some things on our blacktop, and they're also providing nutrition education for students, all free of charge. So that's been a fun addition to Loma Rica. Again, thanks to some decisions made by our superintendent and our board, part of technology money that came in, I think it was 2 years ago, Loma Rica was never in a position to be able to have a computer lab because, you know, you only had this much money, and by the time you bought this computer, then when you get around to buying it 3 years later, you have to replace the one that you had before. So we have a fully functioning computer lab at both Loma Rica and at Foothill, which was a real desire on our part to have. We also have two full sets of iPads that are able to move. So Foothill and Loma Rica are up to speed in the technology department, I'm happy to say. Professional development, just a couple of numbers to throw out to you. 91 hours of Illuminate training that our teachers have participated in. 60 hours in GoMath professional development training. Another form of professional development, our staff at Foothill, we all read the book Making Thinking Visible. And then teachers came back at a staff meeting, and several of them were able to share some ideas that they found from that literature of things that they're implementing in their classroom, again, to promote active participation of all students. Every Friday, Foothill School teachers meet for articulation time, and really it's only one day a month that it's sort of formalized that we come together. Most all of the Fridays the teachers meet are teacher-driven, teacher-designed in terms of what it is that they need for time to talk. They'll submit plans. This is what we're going to work on for this particular Friday. But it's important that teachers evaluate what it is that they need at any given moment, who they need to articulate and collaborate with, and have an opportunity to do that. Very valuable time for the teachers. Loma Rica, we have just one Friday a month for that same purpose. School culture, quarterly assemblies, fun night, movie night, rallies, dances, all a lot of the things that kids come to school for. We continue to provide them that opportunity to socialize with their peers and be recognized for their positive citizenship at our schools. Teachers are recognized at staff meetings for things that they've done that go far above and beyond their classrooms. We'll have periodic assemblies just to review with students what the expectations are, and also to discuss any safety issues that we're seeing become a trend and concern on the campus. We'll randomly pull an assembly together if we need to do that, and it's helped keep that campus safe. Almost done here. Just some numbers I want to share with you. Our EL redesignation, we have a very small population of EL students. However, two-thirds have been reclassified at Loma Rica School this year. We're proud of that. And we've almost got everyone reclassified at Foothill. Our library circulation rates, really proud about this. We've spent tremendous energy on updating our library. We got rid of the book, My Friend the Atom. I think it was written in 1943. And I actually think we kept it for posterity's sake, My Friend the Atom. And we've really improved our informational text because our library was sorely lacking in that regard. At the end of January, our circulation rates had increased. We had 1,853 more books go out to students since this time last year. Keyboarding is a big push for us at the elementary level, and we have our third graders. Before Christmas, 92% of them were at proficient or above on their keyboarding skills. And I can tell you that the fourth grade teachers and beyond are thrilled because that is going to help them as well. The last three bullets I won't share with you, but just show you in kind of a graphic form. The last statewide data that we had was the Academic Performance Index. And so the last 3 years that that assessment was administered, Foothill School saw an increase over that 800 mark, which is, that was just a base. Kind of sad when we're starting to make this wonderful trajectory and then things got changed up a little bit. We'll continue to make those improvements. That's our goal. Loma Rica School, you see the data there for the API score. I included socioeconomically disadvantaged students because this was a big has been a big shift in our Foothill area, and we've really had to pay particular attention to how do we provide that quality education for this population of students, and it takes a change in our delivery methods. And so I was really proud of what staff was able to do in terms of increasing that particular subgroup on those API scores. And then the last thing, and this kind of goes back to school culture and just collected 3 years worth of data. The days of suspension at Foothill back in the 11-12 school year, we had 191 days of suspension. We've been able to cut that more than in half, down to 74. Loma Rica is going the opposite direction than what we'd like. And tomorrow we're meeting with our PBIS coordinator for the district. Staff is very much on board to create a school-wide set of expectations and opportunities for students. That's not something Loma Rica has had because we didn't have PBIS in the school district, but I'm hoping that that will help address that increase. Expulsions, 3 years ago, 22 students were expelled, and since the beginning of the 2013 school year, we've had zero. So proud of our students for that. And then the last slide shows the percentage of students who are eligible for promotion. That's another area that has been a focus, meeting that 2.0 criteria. We had 75% of our students were eligible for promotion 3 years ago. And that was the highest in the two counties, or the lowest, I should say, in the two counties. So we've started studying this. We've brought it up to 84%. As of second progress report this year, we're on track for 91% this year. So fingers are crossed. So with that, the only, and I forgot to do this at the beginning, if you're wondering why all these new faces are here, Tuesday night is a conflict for me. We have a Brandman University class that convenes every Tuesday night, and we didn't want to have to do a makeup on a Saturday, right? So when I offered that, they will come to the board meeting, Kathleen. And next week we'll be talking about about governmental structures and where the Department of Ed fits in and the school board fits in and the building principal fits in and the superintendent and so on and so forth. So it's nice for them to be able to come and see, and thank you for welcoming. I do not have staff. I do. I saw. See, Linda? Linda String is our special education teacher for 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. She does serves both STC and RSP students. Anyone else? Thank you, Linda, for coming. In the back row, right? You could sit in the front row with me. So, with that, thank you. I apologize if I went on a little too long, but appreciate it.
Because of illness, the item there with Lindhurst and the WASC update, well, we're going to postpone that to a different board meeting. And that brings us to comments from board members. Mr. Broom?
Just one comment for Ms. Hansen. You give us credit for some of the things that are happening at Foothill School, but you're really the one that deserves most of the credit. You're a great stable force up there. It's made a huge difference. How many years have you been there? In about five now? Fourth? And you've done a wonderful job, and everybody up there loves you. I see, you know, people all the time. I run into parents at different events, occasions, all the time that children go to both Loma Rica and Foothill School, and they've always got nothing but great things to say about you. So appreciate your hard work. Thank you.
Ms. Hansen, Kathleen, my kids went through and had you when you were a teacher, as you remember, my youngest one, and he loved your class. What I like about tonight, you brought data, and data tells a story. And when you look at your data, it's obvious you're a data-driven school, and that's what makes you a great school. And I appreciate the efforts you do up there. It's not easy with the smaller schools. But as I say, my kids remembered you as a teacher, they respected you as a teacher, and they loved you as a teacher. And that's hard for the boys I had, as you remember. Also, the academic decathlon was held on Saturday, sponsored by Yuba County Office of Ed, Scosa Sanchez Holmes, and Maggie Nicoletti put it on. I think there was four board members there, wasn't there? Four. We worked that, and we've worked that for years. It's quite an event. As I say, Marysville High School won again, and some of you will remember. They are now going to the state, and I think it was 3 years ago they actually won at the state level over all the high schools in the state. So that's very good. We have great things going on in our district, and it takes good employees and good principals, everybody working together to have a good district.
Mr.
Hansen? Well, ditto what Jim said about the academic decathlon. Kids, some were very well prepared, some were not as well prepared, but the ones that were on it, it was really nice. Come in, they were really sharp. They answered questions. They made you think about some of the questions you were asking them and why you were asking them that. But it was fun doing that. But also, I'd like to congratulate Lindhurst High School wrestling team for being the league champions, and I believe that they have two or four girls that were going forward in the state meet for them. And I would like to congratulate them. Thank you.
Hey, Mr. Denimal.
I have to say the decathlon was great. And I challenge you guys to try to answer some of those questions. They're tough. Ms. Hansen, very nice report. And actually, I didn't expect anything different. than a good report, which I, of course, expect from all our principals. Thank you.
I'd like to add, I visited several of the schools in the Hills today and in Marysville, and the Yuba Sutter's Search for Talent, okay, that's coming up, sponsored by the Exchange Club, and I want to encourage all the principals. I haven't gotten to everybody yet in distributing the forms, but it's one of those events that the kids get a chance to actually do some outside activities using their talents. Also, this is the board meeting between the President's Day, I think thinking of Abraham Lincoln's birthday and George Washington. It's time, too, that I was thinking, last night I was watching a film on the Civil War, which I tuned in by accident, and it's time to think about all the sacrifices that those people have made in order that we can be here tonight in this meeting and have the country that we do. Okay. Next is opportunity for employee organizations to address the board. Marysville Unified Teachers Association.
Good evening. Speaking of data-driven, I've come to you many, many, many times over the years and shared some data. Most of those years were times when the economy was not doing as well as it is now. And I'd like to just revisit a few of those things that I shared. If you'll remember, they weren't actually pink, by the way, but people call them pink slips or the rifts that happened year after year. There are some teachers in our district who have been riffed at least 4 times in a row. I personally got a riff notice one of those years. And it wasn't necessary. As the number of employees decreased who were teaching, the number of students did not decrease by nearly as much. So we continued to have the burning the candle at both ends. We were working harder, and because of our insurance costs, we're making less. At that time, we haven't had Ryan around long enough to see how it goes with Ryan. I'm hoping that it'll be a little bit more clear. But the projections for what the end balance would be in the budget is in red there. And then the blue are the numbers that were actually the end budget. At one time, later, this was quite a while ago that I shared this slide, but I believe a couple of years later, it was projected that the end fund balance was going to be a negative $11 million, and it was positive $11 million. So that was interesting. I also had shared this with you, our insurance cost for the different plans has gone up every year. Right now, it's gone up again. The total amount now, if you want to have Plan 1A, which is the plan that any board members and our superintendent have, it costs $1,800 something six. I think I have it later on. Total. So if you subtract 757, that's how much the district pays on our behalf. When I would bring slides that showed the ending fund balance over time, I would frequently hear, oh yeah, well, you gotta consider that designated for economic uncertainty, and that has to come out of the non-restricted, so you have to think about the restricted versus unrestricted. And so I put this together, this after many times trying to get the data across, and this goes back to 11-12. I can, if you need me to, I can do one that goes longer to this last year when I have the unaudited actuals for that. The dark blue at the bottom is what you're required to have, and it is unrestricted funds. The rest of the light blue is simply unrestricted, and the red at the top is the restricted. And that's been the trend that I've shared with you before. 2 years ago, I was standing here presenting information the day that my granddaughter was born. That's Penelope Jane. We call her Penny. Here she is today. Her birthday's in 2 days. We're going to be bargaining in 2 days. She likes you guys. Okay, here we are. The teachers have taken an average of 9% cut to their compensation. This year, Marysville Joint Unified School District received an increase in revenue of 11%, about $8.6 million. Next year, you're expecting to receive an additional increase of about $7.1 million in revenue. And yet the district has stalled negotiations for this year. We're in the spring now, just about here. We're getting on to Valentine's Day, guys. We're past the 100-day mark. And then insulted the employees by offering a 3%, what they called, increase. Superintendent Todd's total compensation has increased every year. School board members who are on the health plan, I believe Mr. Miller was not, and I don't know about our new person. Your compensation has actually increased by about 63%. The one piece of the LCAP has remained ignored about attracting and retaining high-quality teachers. And we have several, I think, special ed teachers in the back here who know this, and you know, special ed teachers are hard to come by. Really good special ed teachers are very hard to come by, and I understand it's hard to come by. We don't have enough for our students. Our special ed teachers have too many people on their caseload coming to the school, interviewing, finding out that out of your check every month you're going to have to pay $1,021, or actually it's more than that now, $1,100 something, I believe, for health care. I've dropped my plan down. I'm on plan 8, so I don't know what people pay up there anymore. It doesn't really make it an attractive place to be if you have to pay that much. And newly created positions are of higher priority than settling negotiations with the teachers. It's February. We submitted our proposal in May of last school year. So, in health premiums, back in 09-10, the teachers paid, in this graphic to make sense, the blue is what teachers pay out of their pocket toward premiums, and the red is what the district pays toward the teachers' premiums. So in 9-10, the teachers paid less than what the district paid for them. Over a year, they paid $5,952. as a unit, the total unit paid actually a little more than, slightly more than $2.6 million a year. So you can see over time, the district paid the same amount every year up until 13-14. When we got an agreement, the district paid an extra $100 a month for each of us. And so their amount went up from $7,884 a year to $9,084 a year. But ours continued to go up. So that this year, when you combine everything that we pay almost $6 million a year, our unit, for insurance. So our cost has gone up about $3.2 million, I think. For board members and Dr. Todd, the district paid $13,836 per board member with health insurance and Dr. Todd back in 9-10. Each year, the amount paid per person has gone up. This year, the cost for one of you to have insurance is $22,332. If you add that to board compensation, it's about $25,000 a year that you're being compensated for your job. So I thought you should appreciate that. Our teachers' benefit compensation decreased by, per teacher, $7,296. Dr. Todd's benefit compensation increased by $8,496. A 2% increase in salary for an average teacher is about $1,260. Remember, we had the 2% increase in our salary. It doesn't come close to making up for the increase of $7,296. Dr. Todd's increase with the 3.8%, because she didn't get the extra $100 per month instead of 2% salary like we had, she had the 3.8. That increase was $7,500. That would have made up for our decrease in compensation. And like I've already told you, board members are compensated about $25,000 a year. So now what? Two days from now, we have negotiating again, just next door. The total cuts in MUTA compensation is equal to $3.2 million. Revenue in the district has increased by $8.6 million this year. Next year, you're expecting $7.1 million. And unlike other years, it tends to be lately, the trend is that what you're expecting, you end up getting more than what you expected. I would like the board to tell your team that it's time to make teachers whole. And our bargaining team would welcome board members to come and observe the process on this Thursday. I'm done. Thank you. Unless you have any questions.
Operating Engineers Local Union 3. California School Employees Association 326 and 648. Association of Management and Confidential Employees and Supervisory Unit. Okay, I have one public comment card. Brian Hatch, if you'd like to approach the microphone.
Sorry, I don't have any fancy graphics and whatnot, but I've been teaching in Marysville District at Cedar Lane Elementary for 27 years. And in that time, the trend that I've always seen is that when it comes to negotiation time, instead of having the approach of what can we really do to help keep up with cost of living, the trend has always been what little crumb can we kind of throw out there to keep the process dragging along. And I would just like to present to you, you know, come on, let's get real. And give us a cost of living increase that really does help. Give us some help with, I think it's been a couple of years ago, that put $100 more toward our health insurance, and that helped, but then right away the next year it went up and ate it all away again. And so I know that all my colleagues work hard. Teachers are directly involved in everything in student life. And I'm just asking you to please let this process go at a reasonable pace. It's been going on since May, and here we are in February. And aside from the tedium and just making people tired, consider what a boost that would be if teachers actually felt that, wow, you appreciate what we do. You're really trying to do what you can to help us so that we're not constantly worried about, can I afford health care? Can I this or that? Out of my paycheck, I took the one under, and more than $900 a month comes out of my paycheck to pay for health insurance. And so I just want to, here's a real face here, real person affected by this, and I'm just asking you to take some action. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, superintendent's report.
Thank you, Mr. Rex. Tonight, I just wanted to take a little bit of time to review where we are with our local control accountability plan. As you will remember, last June, you approved the plan that was developed in concert with community members, teachers, administrators, students, and board members. And so tonight, here we are with our goals and also where we are at this mid-year point. For some of you, this may be a little small, so I've spread it out on a big sheet for you, if you're anything like me, because I'm going to start looking at it in just a second. Our first goal under the LCAP was to provide learning opportunities that result in increased academic achievement and ensure quality classroom instruction for all students, including support systems. Sorry, let me put my glasses on now that it's dark, which meet the needs of targeted populations. Under that, we have a number of goals. So if you look at the far left-hand column, you'll see that it states we are going to continue to provide professional development. We have our metric of how we're going to measure it in the next column. Next to that is the measurement rubric, followed by our baseline. Where did we start? We started with 99% of our teachers highly qualified. And mid-year, we still are at 99% of our teachers being highly qualified. Part of that was to provide ongoing training and instructional strategies and practices, also known as professional development. And last year, we had zero set aside. We were using some Title II funds and a variety of other funds, but through the LCAP process, it was designated that $600,000 would be set aside for 14-15 professional development. This is about the cost of the 4 days that we have for our certificated staff that is in our contract, and so we have continued with that, although there is a variety of other trainings that take place as well from a variety of funding sources, both from the district level and from site level. I'm happy to report that we had 407 teachers participate in 13-14. That's our baseline. And in August of this year, both the 7th and the 8th, we had over 587 on the 7th and 570 on the 8th. And we have two more days yet to happen, and that will be in June on the 8th and the 9th. We wanted to make sure that students had access to all state and board-approved instructional materials, and we used the one-time California allocation to purchase math textbooks for all of our K-12 students, so that is in place. And we are setting aside about 50% of what we think we will need, although our adoption runs right around 1,200,000 and some odd thousand, depending on the publisher and the materials. We are setting aside next year 500,000, because based on the state's adoption cycle for the elementary grades, we are anticipating being able to purchase state standard textbooks and language arts for 16-17. So you can see we are setting funds aside for the next subject area. So as we move forward, I know that the board was adamant about bringing back, continuing, the ROP and the career tech, also known as electives, at our high school levels. And previously, 100% of the funding came from our Tri-County Consortium for the ROP program, and that funding is now being rolled into the allocation for the funding band for grades 9 through 12. So that funding is going away. And so you will see that this year we picked up $36,000 to cover the transportation. That was cut from this year's budget. And you'll see that by the end of the year we hope to have set aside $400,000 to continue our ROP and career tech ed courses. You may ask, well, how did this all come about? If you see the slide that's up on the screen right now, our previous ROP allocation was right around $855,000, give or take a few. That was in 13-14. And the projected reduction in funding is on the board. So you can see it goes down $400,000 for next year, which means we need to set aside $400,000 to cover that shortfall. 16-17, we need to have $800,000 to help cover it, and 17-18. Right around $900,000 to keep what we currently have. That's the base program. The next page is talking still about our first goal, but it was a second priority, not in any particular order. I think they're both were very strong contenders for the board to make sure they were reinstated, and that's the Air Force Junior ROTC program. You'll see here that we had zero funds set aside, and right now, we have set aside this year $40,000 because there are some initial setup or startup costs, and we will set aside another $40,000 next year. We also heard from our community that access to a music program was very, very important, and as you read across, you'll see that last year we had a 0.4 music teacher at McKinney. We had a music teacher at Marysville and Well, Marysville High and MCAA share a music program, and Lyndhurst had a music teacher. To date, we have not filled the one intermediate school program position, although we have been actively looking for a highly qualified teacher. We just haven't found one yet, but that quest continues, and that position is slated for Yuba Gardens. McKinney currently has a limited music program, which then feeds into the secondary level, but Yuba Gardens did not, so that was the decision to fund the Yuba Gardens position. We wanted to maintain our K-3 class sizes, and you will see that we set aside funding for three, and as our numbers worked out this year, we needed to hire two, and you'll see the sum total of one full-time teacher at Cedar Lane and one full-time at Olivehurst at $120,977. We also bumped up the athletic budgets for both Lyndhurst and Marysville High School to the tune of $25,000, which I believe was greatly appreciated and has helped defer some of the costs that they incur with coaches, transportation, and the like. We wanted to make sure we had intervention and acceleration classes, and you'll see the numbers for 13-14 and then for 13-14 and then now for 14-15. We have increased the number of courses, specifically one ROP class and 12 intervention courses. As I keep moving down, you'll notice there are a number of these that we are waiting until June when final numbers come forward. But right now, we wanted to make sure that students have access and enroll in a broad course of study. And last year, we had 23.7% of students met the A through G requirements. We're hoping that that number increases for the 14-15 school year. So we are watching that very closely. One way we decided to measure improved student literacy was to look at the number of books read. So to date, students have read 175,953 books, or read 20.5 books per K-8 student from August through December. So those numbers are definitely up. We added, because when you have that many books being checked out, we thought we would need 4.8 library clerks. We did hire 4.15. So those people are in place, and I think you heard Ms. Hansen talk about the impact that it's had on their individual school sites. So as we move forward, improved graduation rates. We had a 79.7% last year. We'll know more in June or August when those final numbers come through. Same thing with the high school exit exam. It is in progress, so we'll continue to monitor that. We had in English language arts, we had a pass rate of 83% with 56% proficient. Math, we had 85% pass with 62% proficient. Two different sets of numbers, but certainly both are equally important. I hate to take you through each and every one of these, but student achievement, you'll see we are looking at attendance as well as working on chronic absenteeism. We are looking to decrease that, and you can see those numbers there. We also want to see students improve on the new Smarter Balanced Assessment, which is a way for us to measure how our students are doing. That's a little tricky because we aren't getting individual student scores. We continue to kind of flux with how those numbers will roll through to our district, but certainly they will be taken into consideration and included in here. AP courses, you know, when you talk about the other side of intervention, you want to make sure that you have plenty of advanced placement courses. That we're closely monitoring. Our English learner reclassification rates, we're looking at improving that, and you can see the 2014, if they had been with us more than 5 years, it was 21.5, and less than 5 years, 48.8%. We also were looking at how do we improve student achievement and increase instructional time and or student services in order to promote additional learning opportunities is still in the process of being negotiated, and we are looking at what that will eventually look like. Goal two, you'll see here, says to enhance the current learning environment to ensure that all our students are provided a physically and emotionally safe environment that is culturally responsive to all students. Number one on that list happens to be facility maintenance, and we have set aside $820,000 for deferred maintenance, and there is a plan that is being developed as we speak. And to date, we've spent around $167,000 of that $820,000. The previous year, we had zero funds set aside. We wanted to make sure that we had compliance and wanted to safeguard the assets of our categorical funding, and so we have hired a categorical technician. That has taken place, and I think the schools can attest to the fact that they are receiving timely reports and updated numbers so they can spend and monitor their categorical dollars more efficiently. We have also wanted to add and increase our health services for students. By doing that, we wanted to increase our nurses, so we went from one district-wide school nurse to we now have a total of three. We hired an additional one, so we have three FTEs, full-time equivalents. We also added health clerks this year. We had zero last year, and we wanted to hire six half-time health clerks, and to date we've hired 1.19. I'm not sure what the 1.9 person really is, but it is fractional. And so we still have three half-time positions open, and we are still actively pursuing those individuals to come and help with our students. You also heard Ms. Hansen talk about the counseling. We added one counselor at the intermediate level, and so we have divvied that time up between Yuba Gardens, McKinney, and Foothill. And I will tell you, having been a middle school principal, you could use a full-time counselor every single day to help our students in that transition time. They're moving from elementary school into middle school, where they're now being able to make some choices, and sometimes they need a little more guidance at that time. So we're very happy with that. We did add a 0.5, making each of the high schools round out their number, so they now have 0.25 each more of counseling services. I will tell you, at the high school level, not that you're asking me, but they too could use more counseling services. So we now have two district paid counselors at both Lyndhurst and Marysville High. We added a 0.5 mental health clinician. That's being paid out of the mental health funding, but certainly it is needed in our area, and so we now have a total of two. I know you've all heard a lot about the positive behavior interventions and supports, the PBIS program. Some schools were part of a grant and others were just kind of left behind, and they saw the success at the schools who had participated in the grant, so the board agreed to bring on a PBIS coordinator. And although we had to switch that position, I think the person we have now is doing an amazing job, very energetic, and is working to help all schools bring that program forward. We wanted to increase the attendance clerks and library clerks, and so you'll see that we have done that. We've added 4.31 full-time equivalents for the attendance clerks, and you'll see later in this document where we've also increased the library clerks. Assistant principals, we've added 1.5, one full-time at Linda and a half-time at Kynock. And as you will remember, that's tied to an administrative student ratio, and so that was the maximum we could do at this point. Certainly there is always going to be a need for more assistance at the school sites, especially as they get larger. Increased technology needs, we approach that by making sure that all of our sites to date have wireless access, and that is at all of our school sites. And we also wanted to make sure we could monitor student achievement and have an accountability management system that would allow us to see how our students were performing. And so you'll see the Illuminate program, SurveyMonkey, and School Messenger are all listed there. And so all sites have access to that, not just those who had funding to bring that to them. And we've also provided the Destiny software for the library program, and that is at all elementary sites. And then last, but certainly not least, our third goal was to increase parent, family, and community involvement in the education of all students. And it really was about providing access for parents. And it was an overwhelming cry from our second language parents saying, we want to be more involved, and to do that we need to understand the flyers and some of the materials that come home with our students. And so as such, we hired 1.4 translators slash interpreters, and that's based on one full-time Spanish because of the number of Spanish-speaking students we have, and then a half-time Hmong speaker. That is where we are with the LCAP that the board approved. Preparing for next year, you know, just about the time we think we've got it done, it's time to start thinking about preparing for next year. We have had one meeting already with our budget and LCAP committee. You'll see the list of members. It is a long list, but I think it shows a broad spectrum of representation. And we do also have two board members, Glenn Harris and Tony Danable. Our next meeting, as Ms. Schlesler mentioned, is going to be this Thursday, February 12th, 5:30 p.m. in the boardroom. Mr. Harris and Mr. Danable are members of the committee, but anyone else who wants to come and be an observer, you're more than welcome to come. And then, of course, this is our schedule that we're going to have. We met in December. It was a time to kind of review the process and to talk about where we were and how we came to the current LCAP that we have. Our next meeting, we're going to talk about where we are now that we know what the governor's proposal is going to be for 15-16. And we're going to look at where are we in implementing what we said we were going to do and move forward in that direction. March 12th, we will have a stakeholder survey put together, and so we'll be seeing what other areas folks want to see added to the LCAP. And then finally, April 16th, we will review those results and talk about what needs perhaps to be expanded or eliminated, or perhaps even something new added to the 15-16 LCAP. And that will all be brought forward to me for my consideration before I present it to the board, and certainly you will see all of the information that is gathered at that time. So here's our timeline. Because as you remember, we have to have all of this done by the end of June, so we will have the finalized recommendations on 4/23. The first draft of the LCAP will be available on the district website by the 4th of May. And then at that point, I will go back and make any revisions or respond to any written comments based on that posting by the 15th of May. I will present the final draft and we'll hold a public hearing at this June 16th special board meeting. So that's a little hint, guys. We have an extra board meeting in June. And then on the 23rd of June, the board will be asked to adopt the budget and the LCAP at that meeting. And that's it for the special report. But just in case, were there any questions on that? Whew. Other than you have a copy there, and if you want to give me a call if you have questions, I'm happy to answer any of those. Well, thank you. Thank you. I do want to remind the board that beside the budget and LCAP meeting, we do have the spelling bee tomorrow night at 5:30. We'll start with grades 4 through 6, then as soon as they're finished, we'll go on to grades 7 through 9, and hope to see some of you guys there. It's a lot of fun to watch the kids and to see what words they can spell correctly, and we're all in the back spelling them and trying to make sure we're close in the spelling. So good luck to all of them. Thank you very much.
Somehow in the pile of paperwork up here, I missed two comment cards. Okay, so let's go back and do the two comment cards. First one is Melissa Quintero. Could you please come forward?
Good evening. Can you guys hear me? No? Better? Okay. My name is Melissa Quintero, and this is my son, Lorenzo. And I'm here tonight to speak on behalf of Mr. Greco. My mom is a graduate of the Marysville Joint Unified School District. I'm a graduate of the district, and my son is a graduate of the district. I have two students in the district, and I'm a paraeducator in the district. My son graduated from South Lyndhurst in 2013. He wasn't there because of behavior or discipline, but because he was credit deficient. I remember when we had the enrollment meeting, Mr. Greco stated directly he was surprised my son was interested in enrolling there because it looked like he was a good kid, but just lazy. I appreciated his honesty. Maybe that's why my son, who attended a total of 4 schools in the district from kindergarten through graduation, felt he could talk to Mr. Greco. My son is a quiet young man and is very reserved. In his youth, it was rare for him to speak to people, and especially those in authority. He remembers Mr. Greco coming into classes and talking to the students about his stories growing up. He shared with students his experiences and put them at ease and let them know that they could overcome their situations. He was exactly the kind of administrator students and parents need in a continuation high school. One time, my son found a wallet on campus and turned it in to Mr. Greco. Explaining what had happened, While this may not seem like a big deal, he would have never felt comfortable enough to do this at any other school he attended. He was following the example set for him by a caring administrator. I am saddened that the district has made the decision to remove him from an environment where he was successful and reached kids that are far, far too many forget about. It is my hope that the decision is reversed and that he again will be able to help the students most in need in our community. Thank you for listening.
Okay. I should have announced that the board members can't respond to any of these comments, okay, by Brown Act rule. Okay, the next one is Michelle Walker. It's got an odd spelling. Yeah, that's right.
It's Michelle.
Michelle.
Yeah. I'm here to speak on behalf of Mr. Greco as well. While I don't know him as a parent of a student of his, I've known the Greco family for over 7 years teaching their children. And I've seen Mr. Greco come in every day and drop his daughters off to me, and one day he'd be going to the courthouse to support a student who was going through something, and he wanted to be there. I know during summer vacation, when he was supposed to be having some time with his family, he was putting in garden beds at that school so the students could grow their own food. I've seen him go above and beyond countless times. Even for me, my son was really bullied in a district we were in, and Mr. Greco took the time to talk to me and say, Marysville Joint is a great district to be a part of. Come join us. And I did. And my oldest son is in Gate at your district, at the school he's at, and they are flourishing. So much so that I became the PTSO president and got involved and wanted to be so much a part of this district. So I just felt like, after hearing what happened, that it was really important for me to come and say what a man, the kind of man he is, and how disappointed I am in the decision that was made. Thank you for your time.
Okay, moving on. Next is approval of minutes. If there are any changes or deletions or changes to the minutes?
There's one change. Mr. Boom led the flag salute, not me.
Is that in the minutes, Mr. Boom led the flag salute instead of Mr. Harris? We want to be correct here. Okay. If there are no other additions or changes, the board will entertain a motion to approve the minutes from the last meeting.
I'll make the motion to approve the minutes.
Moved by Mr. Danival. Seconded by Mr. Rasmussen. All those in favor, please say aye. Unanimous. And now we come to the consent agenda. Would anybody on the board like something pulled from the consent agenda? Mr. Fleury.
Number 2, classified?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Okay.
I would like to pull under purchasing department number 2, the RFQ authorization for Prop 39 clean energy. And is this right to be under purchasing department, or is that supposed to be under facilities and energy management?
Any request for proposal, request for qualifications, we'll run those through purchasing because purchasing submits the package to be advertised.
Okay.
Okay. The board will entertain a motion to take action on the rest of the consent agenda. Anyone care to make a motion?
Make a motion.
Okay, moved by Mr. Harris.
Consent.
Seconded by Mr. Danival. All those in favor, please raise your hands. And going back to, let's take them in order. Item number two under classified employment, Mr. Fleury.
Yes. When I looked at the classified, I remember last meeting we approved this employee to be, she had left, and then I see she was hired again, which is fine, but then I saw she came in permanent. I did call Romero, and he had an explanation for it, but I thought if I had confusion, I think there was others would have confusion as somebody could quit, come back, and go permanent. So, Romero, would you explain that to clear the confusion, please?
If you're referring to employee listed number three, then I can explain. An employee is often given an opportunity to resign for personal reasons. And given what has happened or what has transpired during a probationary period of one's job, the employee in question also has permanent rights to a position in the district in a position comparable to what he or her has attained that permanency in. In this particular case, although the employee resigned from that specific assignment, the employee was not relinquishing permanency rights to any other position. The employee in this case, by law and by contract, is afforded an opportunity to accept a lesser position equal to or lower than a position that he or she has had permanent rights in. Given that scenario, albeit somewhat convoluted, the employee was placed, having invoked her rights, to be in a vacant position. Given that permanency right, that person cannot bump somebody, so that was not exercised, but there was a vacancy in a lesser position, therefore it was given to the employee. Questions? I know that sounds kind of convoluted, but I can attempt to clarify it a little easier if necessary.
No. I appreciate your explanation. Again, as all of us, if there's a question, that's why we're here, and I talked to you ahead of time, but I just wanted you to explain it for the record. Thank you, Romero.
Okay. Let's see if we can take care of item two here. The board will entertain a motion for item two under student services, personnel services.
I'll make a
motion. And zero
motion. I'm making a motion.
Okay. Moved by Mr. Fleury. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Danwell. All those in favor, raise your hands.
Aye.
Aye. And that brings us to item two under purchasing department. Mr. Broom.
Yeah, Mr. DiGiulio, do we bring these to you, being it's under purchasing department, or do we take the questions?
I believe I can speak on
it. Okay. First of all, we're looking at an RFQ for a consultant for quite a bit of money. I think it was $150,000 or something. But I thought, is this something that we have to do with that Prop 39 money, or is this something that we want to bring in a consultant to look at this? We had talked about maybe doing some other avenues of ways to look at energy-related issues in the district without spending the money on a consultant. So
I'll kind of give you a rundown. Prop 39 has to do with improving equipment and or installed components that produce energy. Last time we did talk about the energy manager and bringing that position in. That would deal with energy conservation and these types of projects. Without having that position, we do have to spend these monies, and we do have to create a plan to improve our electricity and other energy infrastructure. We're working on that plan in-house with PG&E, so we don't plan on spending all the planning dollars on a consultant, but we will need assistance based on our current staffing to get to all the projects that will fall under Prop 39, because there will be a myriad of projects on multiple campuses. So we can do it internal, but we would need the staffing. Without it, we at least need somebody to manage the projects, and we'll set the stage again on what projects they will be. This is just approving the RFQ. We still have a process in evaluating or auditing the campuses and creating the design plan and what we're going to do and getting that approved through the state. So this will come down the line, and then, you know, we'd have that process and submit a contract to the board for approval. But without that other component, this is the route we would need to take.
So if we go through this RFQ process and, you know, we approve somebody, then that person's going to be the one that will run the project? Is that what you said?
They will assist in managing the many projects we have under Prop 39. We have a lot of non-Prop 39 projects that we're doing in both terms of ending fund balance, finishing out the bond, and also projects that fall under deferred maintenance. So anything that's basically requires DSA approval or some kind of approval by a state authority has been running through facilities. So just a matter of manpower or womanpower, just having somebody out there, being able to monitor the projects and make sure they get done to the satisfaction of the district. So it's an owner representative in essence.
Do you expect the funding to continue at the same rate? I know this is, it's made separately over each year for a five-year period. We're talking a fairly decent amount of money here, $444,000, actually $445,000 and $52,200. Do you expect this to be funded every year?
It's going to be funded for 5 years, according to the governor's plan. They're not the same in every year. The first year is higher with all the planning dollars and total funding, but I mean, it will be over $1 million for the district in 5 years. Or somewhere around there, but it will be close to that. So it will be a five-year period. So we're going to turn in year one of the plan and continue forward as the funding levels are set for each of the 5 years. There's been a lot of changes in back and forth in Prop 39, but districts are turning in their plans, finally starting to get things rolling, so we'd just like to do that in time. We're not in a rush, per se, because, again, we have many years to expend the money. We just want to do it right, but we want to get the process going forward. Yes, last week, Cynthia, if you want her to provide more detail, did meet on the Marysville and this greater campuses, and they did complete an audit and a plan for this campus. Lyndhurst is going to be a big one. You're usually going to look at the campuses that are your highest energy users. So we'll get there systematically, but we have started the process with PG&E.
So, Mr. DiGiulio, out of the $185,000 between MCAA and the rest of the district, you don't anticipate using all of those funds if we do have a consultant in that position?
No, it's going to be a percentage based on the contract price for the different projects. So it will be a percentage. I don't anticipate using all of that. It will be a significant portion, but not all.
Yeah, and I understand this is just the first step, the RFQ, but, you know, hiring a consultant's going to be okay. Thank you.
Again, it's just a matter of getting to the priorities. So one way or the other, whether we do it in-house and we have the appropriate staffing or do a consult, we're going to have at least that oversight, especially on issues with the technicalities that come with these energy improvements.
Okay, any other comments? The board will entertain a motion. Somebody would like to make that?
I'll move to approve.
Okay, moved by Mr. Crawford. Is there a second? Second, okay, by Mr. Danable. All those in favor, please raise your hands. Aye. Unanimous, 7. Okay, that moves us to new business. And okay, first item is Resolution 2014-15-17, support Read Across America Day. Any discussion?
Just happy to do it.
That's right. We'll all put on our hats and do that. Okay, the board will entertain a motion on Board of Trustees, Resolution 14-15-17. Seconded by Mr. Danwolf, moved by Mr. Harris. Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Unanimous. Item two is not on the agenda. It's the discussion question on, naturally I don't have it handy here, district goals. Maybe I should start with the discussion a little bit. This came about because we were interested in reviewing the district goals. Some of the members of the board, I believe, had thought of an idea to have this discussion. And so I'll open that up as a discussion item. Anybody have anything to say about district goals? We've already had like 12, 14 minutes of district goals by the superintendent.
Not that you were counting.
Not that I was counting, right. Jim, could you turn on your mic?
We have the LCAP goals, but one of the things we had last year was communication, and it's not in our goal list this year. And any district, to thrive at its maximum, has to have good communication. And I'm concerned that we don't have communication in our goals this year.
I think probably we do, though. It goes back to the parent participation and having the parents involved in everything. I believe that would be communication to me, because we, I don't know where it is here, but increased parent access to district and site information to increase parent participation in all school functions. I mean, that to me right there says communications. I mean, I don't know. That's just my opinion, but I think we have communications. I don't know.
I think it would be good input, maybe, that one of our goals is to continue communications.
Yeah, I think, and I see the response, too, from just the presentation tonight, when we get 500 parents coming to an event, and that's one of the things I think I've always been proud of. It seems like whether it's Cedar Lane or any of the schools or Boga, okay, when there's something going on, the parents show up, and I think there's a real communication there. Were you thinking more in terms of the board being?
Yeah, just better communication throughout the district. I just don't, as one of seven, do not feel we have the best communication within our district. I don't know how the other board members, I'd like to hear how the other ones feel. Maybe I'm wrong and they think the communication is good. I just don't.
I don't know that I can answer that question, not without better communication. I mean, I don't understand. Well, let me rephrase that. I do understand what communication means, but I mean, better communication in what area? Better to parents, better to the teaching staff, the administrative, or us as a seven have better?
Yeah. Better communication, I think, with the staffs, to the board. Different districts do it different ways. I don't think we have a system where people can communicate to us directly.
How would you like to do that? Give me ideas.
Well, one of the ways we do is some districts say each board member has a box and they can communicate directly to them electronically. That's done a lot through the state, where it's directed, done through electronic, where they can hear their constituents' concern. It's like when they have different offices in the Congress, they are able to go to that office and talk to them about their concerns.
I don't know. I have on the website, my phone is listed, my email is listed, my cell phone is listed, so. Oh, sorry. I don't know what I could do differently, or if someone could. I know if someone wants to get a hold of me, there's a number of different ways they can get a hold of me. I have a home phone, I have a cell phone, I have my email address, and you know, I get emails. People send me emails. It's not like they don't know my email address.
And we are elected by the community. We do serve the community in that role. But I know, I don't think anybody's been shy about calling me. I have 52 messages on my machine at home when I got home today. So I think people can get in touch with me, no question about that. I think it's probably good to bring this up to discuss like we are, and then we'll go from there, though.
Okay. It sounds like Mr. Flory is asking for some kind of like electronic mailbox for anonymous people to drop messages off. That's what I'm getting out of this, because it's going back and forth with you guys.
But if somebody's anonymous, how do you communicate with them and get back to them?
If they
want to drop it off anonymously, they can just make a call and say, here. But I mean, if you want communication and two-way communication, there's got to be some way for them to say, okay, this is Glenn Harris, I'm calling about this problem or about this communication or about whatever. But if we need to get back to them, we need to have a name, don't we?
I get that. We all got our numbers. People can call us that want to speak to us on a one-to-one basis, knowing who they are.
Yeah.
But I imagine there might be some people out there that might want to communicate with us without having a footprint of identification.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
I think we always have to look how we can enhance communication.
Okay.
Yeah, I've never had anybody tell me I'm hard to get a hold of. I've never had a problem with people calling me, talking to me. I don't know. Are you talking about constituents? Or are you talking about
constituents? I know in the Oliverhurst area we have meetings where set up by Supervisor Grego. People come in. They can communicate board concerns, district concerns, with governmental agencies, and they cover a myriad of concerns they have. I know that on the next meeting we've had Ryan come out there and talk to him. Gay's been out there. Cynthia's going to go to the next meeting where people can hear what their concerns are, and they want to know more about what we're doing in the district and different agencies.
I think you're kind of going and working against yourself. You're pointing out all the things that we are doing to communicate, and which is a good idea. Any other comments? Okay. I don't think we can even have a motion on this, do we? We just agreed to. We've had a discussion. All right. If there's no objection.
If you would want to put a plan for our better communication together, and we could have maybe get together and discuss it, or discuss what we need to do.
I think that would be a good idea, just get input throughout the district how our communication can be improved.
Okay.
Then how are they going to? No, I'm kidding.
I know.
I was going to say, how are they going to communicate with you? Then? No.
This is really interesting, because any time you get more than three board members together, you're violating the Brown Act. So we can't just sit around and talk to each other on a normal basis.
That's the hard part.
Yeah, and then you start walking a fine line when you start getting into district personnel issues and lawsuits, and, you know, instead of people going to Dr. Todd or Mr. Carrion or Mr. DiGiulio or whoever, they're coming to board members, and then we start violating other facets of the law. So I think you got to be careful with the way you construct that, and that you're not violating other ed codes.
Okay, if there's no objection, I would like to close the discussion. Okay, I'm assuming that's a consensus. Okay, that brings us to item number one, Facilities and Energy Management Department, contract with Visual Impact Signs and for a monument sign at Ellis School. Discussion?
If there's no discussion, I'll make a motion to approve.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Moved by Mr. Broom and seconded by Mr. Crawford. Is that right? Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Item two, agreement with Warren Consulting Engineers and Company for the South Lyndhurst High School Portable Addition Topographical Survey. All right. Any discussion on this one? I was a little astounded at this when I went through this, but if there's no discussion, then I'll entertain a motion from the board.
I'll make the motion.
Mr. Danable moves to approve item two. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Rasmussen. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any objection? Okay. Abstention. Item three, agreement with Warren Consulting Engineers and Company for the South Lyndhurst High School Bus Loop Topographical Survey.
One correction. Sorry, that's Lyndhurst, the right. South. I think we're trying to carry that momentum forward from the last topic, but it's the
okay,
bus
South
loop
Lyndhurst
at
High School Bus Loop
Lyndhurst
Topographical
High School,
Survey. Oh, Lyndhurst. There's no South in there.
It's in front of the Lyndhurst High School proper.
Yes. The circle right in front of the high school.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I thought the map was very interesting for that.
I didn't think it may be out, but I think that map was a point of reference on what we're going to be doing, but it wasn't ours.
No.
It wasn't ours. It was a school they had done something similar in another school district.
Okay.
I just hope this is done right. Excuse me, Mr. Redd. Since 1973, that loop's been a mess. Kids running in and out between buses.
Yeah.
I just hope it's done. This is in one time in favor of Silver. Very in favor of Silver.
Okay, any other discussion? If there's no further discussion, the board will entertain a motion. Mr. Danable, I see the motion nod.
Yes, okay. I'll make the motion.
All right. Is there a second?
I'll try that.
Okay, Mr. Crawford seconds it. Okay. All those in favor of item three being approved, okay, aye.
Aye.
And that brings us to item four, agreement with the Colusa Basin Migration Bank, Mitigation Bank, excuse me, Westervelt Ecological Services, LLC, regarding the sale of seasonal wetlands credits for Hamilton Smartsville property. Okay. Anyone care to...
Yeah, I'll bring Cynthia up on this, but in general, we're that property that we're preparing on Smartsville Hamilton Road has a certain it impacts the waters, and so you have to buy credit. It's just part of getting that land to a place where you can make it usable. So I don't know if you want to add any details.
No, that's it.
I mean, it's just a requirement to bring the land up to environmentally.
That's what we're doing.
Yeah. It's kind of, pay us money for this so you can do that.
All right. We all hate to give up those seasonal wetlands. So.
I make a motion that we approve the agreement.
Okay. Moved by Mr. Harris. Seconded by Mr. Danable. Okay. All those in favor, please raise your hands. Okay. Brings us to item five, agreement with Alan S. Brooks for the Portable Addition Project Inspection Services at South Lyndhurst High School. I'd like to say something about this, all these next couple of motions. In the years past, when you weren't here, okay, we've had a lot of trouble with change orders when we put in these portable classrooms. We get charged extra for the phones, the other services, the air conditioning, heating ducts, because they're not on the original plans, and I want to avoid that this time, so I'd like an assurance from we're not going to get hit with change orders for this, okay, and that includes all the bells and whistles that we need with our portable classrooms. Okay, and that applies to the shade canopy too. I want to make sure.
Yeah, this is for the portable classroom, but the shade canopy we brought before.
So, all right, let's go with number five, and the agreement with Alan S. Brooks for the portable addition project inspection services at South Lyndhurst High School. Any other discussion? If there's no further discussion, then the board will entertain a motion.
Motion to approve.
Okay. Mr. Broom moves to approve the item five. Is there a second? I'll go with Mr. Crawford this time.
Okay.
Mr. Crawford. Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Item six, project authorization for number 17 for professional services for portable addition at South Lyndhurst High School. Any comments?
This is we had the topographical survey, so obviously you need to understand the existing land and underneath. This is the design. So once we get that information, the architect will design and submit everything to DSA so that we get it properly approved and completed.
I thought the Rock Creek Elementary was a great addition to that picture in the
Points of reference, you know, we don't design in a vacuum, so we have to consider other other facilities.
Okay. If there are no other comments, the board will entertain a motion. Don't all speak at once.
I'll make the motion.
Okay, Mr. Fleury moves to accept item six. Is there a second? Mr. Daniels. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. All right, item seven, project authorization for the professional services, number 18 for professional services for bus loop repairs at Lyndhurst High School. One of the things that bothered me is that I believe that the architectural services probably are more than the actual cost of the loop repairs, $36,200.
Hmm?
Don't count on it. Okay. Any comments on this?
They're a fraction of the cost, but the bigger the project, the easier it is to get the lower percentage because there's a certain amount of kind of, I guess, sunk cost for them in the terms of they have to establish a certain amount of design criteria that exist regardless, and for approvals they have to do regardless. The bigger the project, you can spread those over more costs. So, I mean, it's going to be a higher percentage on the smaller projects. But it's not going to be more. The project's going to be a lot more in terms of value than the architectural services. So we're not moving the bus structure. I know there's been talk about that. That would cost significantly more, but we're going to look at design. There's the surface of it obviously is not up to scale. A lot of issues we've seen, and I've mentioned this time and time again, is, and we did it at Ella, I added that to the scope, was we don't seal the asphalt. So what happens is the water comes from underneath and above, and it breaks apart the asphalt. So that's a major issue in terms of that bus loop. Also, too, is the design. We have kind of that middle area, and a lot of students stay there. So we're going to look at terms of creating other areas that students could be away from the bus loop, as well as possibly fencing it or creating a different pathway, and also doing a trash enclosure. So there, part of it, don't have the design contract. Once we do, we're going to go on to site. We're going to bring all the parties that have obviously a stake. We'll want to hear from teachers, administrators, students, our transportation department. I mean, we'll have a collective group have input into that design so that we avoid the issues they're having. Some of it, to a degree, is unavoidable. All cars come through that entrance. That's why we talked about moving it, but we'll do the best with what we can given the location.
Yeah.
You said it right.
Yeah,
it fences, I mean, where you can logically, where they won't dart at. And yeah. Not so much fence is not a good word, but I know what you mean.
Mm-hmm. Some kind of barrier. There's other things too with seating in terms that I've seen. and other low kind of cement type walls too that you can put in areas so it avoids those issues. So we're going to look at options, and we're going to get, again, input from people at the site every day that really have expertise from their perspective.
It always bothers me when I see something where it says you could make $36,000 or less.
Yeah, not to exceed.
Yeah, not to exceed.
Well, we like to put a cap so that it's not a continuing.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. There's no further discussion. The board will entertain a motion for item 7.
Motion to approve project authorization.
Moved by Mr. Harris. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Rasmussen. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. No nays. All right. Business services number 1. Revised master agreement with Rainforth Grau Architects for architectural services. I think I just said that almost right. Okay.
This is similar to what we brought forward a couple months ago with Williams and Patton. It's to change some of the key terms, and that's about us getting the computer-aided drawings and also to change the payment structure to more match exactly the workload and how it's occurring during the different phases of the project and get a little more at the end to close out the project. So they agreed to more or less the same master form. There was a little formatting improvements, but the subset of changes were the same as what we did with Williams and Patton. Earlier on the agenda in the consent, we asked for an RFQ to go out for architectural services. We'd like to create possibly about 4 pools, so we have existing architects that have done good work, and based on their expertise, we'll grant projects. We've been waiting kind of with one while we get these things lined up, but this is one more step towards that pool.
Any further comments?
You know, I'm not as smart as my colleagues back in 2008. Boy, it's real hard to figure out what's old and what's new and the way you break down the design phases, schematic design from 15 to 25, development phase from 25 to 15. What the hell? Heck.
Well, they spend a lot of time in the design phase at the beginning, so in kind of putting more on the construction phase and the completion of construction, they wanted more on the front end when we first did the initial
I mean, you understand what all that
negotiation
means.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
They're different phases, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
they put more money up front.
Okay.
More up front.
Yeah, you know, an architect's going to do a lot on the front end, the design, because once it gets to the project, they'll be in project meetings. And they'll have interaction with change orders and RFIs and stuff. But they do a lot of their work on the front end. So I try to keep as much on the back end as possible so that they have incentive to help us work with our contractors to close out the projects and get them done.
I like the part where the architects no longer, we require their approval no longer to use the other documents.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's what
yeah.
Yeah. We want to own. So what we've seen as Cynthia started and what we're trying, we want to own everything. And I think I've told you kind of my long-term vision is for us to have these computerized documents and present them to our stakeholders and constantly update those. So it's you have this master plan for facilities that's updated every year and revised. So we're constantly, it's a living, breathing document, just like our budget is.
And Ryan, you're going to supervise the miscellaneous minor language and formatting cleanup, right? And
that's pretty much what I did.
Yeah, well,
so
okay.
These contracts, we have an existing contract, so I basically cleaned them up.
We just want to know who to hold responsible.
It's all my fault. If anything happens in business services,
all your baby.
Hold me responsible.
Okay.
I will make the motion, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Crawford, it's been moved to approve business services number 1. Is there a second? Mr. Fleury seconds the motion. All those in favor, please in. Okay. Unanimously. That brings us to personnel services tentative agreement with CSEA number 648. Mr. Carrion.
Yes, thank you. Once again, we have the opportunity to bring forward this tentative agreement with one of our bargaining groups. The tentative agreement, which has been ratified, by the way, by the local chapter 648, calls for a 3% increase to all CSEA 648 represented employee salary schedules, which in essence are the preschool teachers, and it is a retro increase, retroactive increase to July 1 of 2014, and we recommend that the board approve this tentative agreement, which also calls for an additional workday from the from each of the 648 represented employees.
That additional workday will be ironed out with all the other groups?
Well, given the need to reflect increased service, augmented services through the supplemental concentration grants, in this case, the need is reflected through the expenditure of the 3%.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, any further discussion on this? Okay. The board will entertain a motion to approve item one for personnel services.
I move to approve.
Mr. Crawford beat you. Okay. How about a second? Mr. Crawford, okay. Mr. Rasmussen, second. Okay, all those in favor of the motion, please raise your hands. Aye. Okay, normally this would be where we would adjourn. However, we're going to adjourn to closed session next door. So how about we'll meet in 5 minutes? I'll give everybody a chance to. All right.